Is it a dumb game or am I just dumb?
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
I don't want to be here.
Me neither.
Last week I took Nelly's party tips to heart.
And, yeah, you tried them out, right?
I tested them. So I went to a Christmas party last night. Got crunked. Isn't that what the kids say? What do kids say these days? I got wasted. That's all I know. And it was awesome. Good people, good eats. Good tunes.
There were good beats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music played?
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, the host of the party is, he's the former drummer of the band, one of the bands I was in many years ago. And he's all over it. Like, it began with good, like, the Vince Guaraldi, however you say his name, trio.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, good.
Classic.
Perfect. It's mellow and it's in the background because we weren't drunk at that point. Then, you know, as the party was going on, he was switching records and putting on some more upbeat, you know, Jingle Bell Rock and then a Weezer Christmas album as we got more drunk. It culminated in what I think was the best part of the evening, which was we did a white elephant gift exchange. My gift, of course, was the greatest because it was a Cheez-Its box with DVDs inside of it, but everyone thought it was Cheez-Its. And it was the last gift picked, so, like, if you know how White Elephant works, like, that was the gift he was kind of stuck with if he decided to not steal from somebody. So and it was Adam, it was the guy who was playing the music. So he opened up the bag, and there's a Cheez-Its box, and the look of deflation on his face was priceless. Because everyone else had, like, somebody had a nice, like, duvet, and my gift was Adam went to a record store and he bought as many albums as he could buy for $15. So he got some of the shittiest albums I've ever seen. And then he got some really good ones that were mixed in, like Steve Martin's Stand Up from back in the 80s and stuff like that. And then he got these tradable musician cards, which is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I've got to buy a book like you would have for your baseball cards with the sleeves, you know? I've got to buy one for these because, like, I got a Dave Mustaine tradable card. I got doubles of it if you wanted. I got an extra in one of the packs. But then I got, so that, like, there was two different brands of them. One was, there was the good version of the cards, which was like the people within bands. It was actual trading cards of the people. That was the Upper Deck version. Then I got the Donruss version of musician trading cards, which was just bands, and they just threw any band on there. It didn't, like, Chesney Hawks, if you remember. One and only. Yeah, Chesney Hawks is on there. Like, I don't want that fucking card.
I do.
I got doubles of it. So you can have one.
I wish you could see an image of me right now. I'm I'm in pajama pants. My elbow is on my desk and my forehead is in my hand.
You're like Uncle Bill. somebody needs to bring you a sausage.
This is not good podcast posture right now.
If you could see me right now, I'm wearing the same boxers I wore on Friday cuz it's my last pair. I haven't done laundry or dishes or groceries.
Oh, my God, people.
It's a mess.
This is the hungover edition of Super Dumb Games.
I didn't even get to the point of my story, which was my friend. And so he bought all those albums, and then we played some of those albums, and it killed the party because they were horrible. I got, like, Kris Kristofferson, Barbara Streisand.
Nelly was right. The good beats. Well, you take one element out of that equation,
yeah,
and party is ruined.
That was it.
Thank you, Nelly.
What an evening. And I'm so happy, though, that I actually went out of the apartment for once. I'm happy I wasn't a hermit. It was fun. What I'm not happy about is, we already covered office colloquialisms, but I've got to say this. On Friday, I'm at the office, and a lot of people are taking leave this week because of Christmas and And the week after is New Year's, so, you know, a lot of people are taking leave then, too. So I heard the very famous Office saying of...
Oh, I already know. I already know. See you next year.
Yes!
The worst.
It was like, hey, I'll see you next week. No, I'll see you next year.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to punch them in the face. Why say that to me? Just say I'll see you in a couple weeks or whatever. No. I don't. It's not cute or clever. It's dumb. Oh, God. Why? Why? Oh, and so begins this episode of Super Dumb Games. Ladies and gentlemen, I am one of your hungover hosts, Chris.
I'm your... I'm your other host, Tanner.
What is this, episode 15?
Yep.
Super Drunk Games. Well, actually, I played a dumb game this week, but I played it for only 5 minutes, although I now feel like I'm an authority on this game. After all five. I caved in. You know, look, people, this game has been hyped to the max on the PR newswire or whatever the hell you read off of every week.
It's been on What's Dropping at least three separate times.
I couldn't control myself. I bought Euro Truck Simulator 2. And this just in, it's all right. It's not. It's,
you
it's
seemed
okay.
More happy than all no. right. You were no, I, ecstatic.
I'm excited that it doesn't suck. And the reason why it doesn't suck, at least from what I can tell, is it's got a lot of elements to it that make for wanting to play it more than just like one time. First off, there's, I don't know, 50 different cities you can truck between. I think that's pretty cool.
Are they all, and they're all in like Central Europe or?
Well, no, it spans from, I guess what you would call Northern England, like just south of Scotland. And then all the way into continental Europe, straight east into Russia. So you've got your, now there's not a lot of, I think France only has two cities, but then when you get to Central Europe, which I imagine is more fan service than anything, because I imagine the Euro Truck Simulator folk understand that like Germans are who are playing this game.
Yeah.
So like Germany is just chock full of cities. But you get to create the hub. Like, where are you going to start? Because you start off as a freelancer. You're not big time when this
you're
game
just
starts
a,
out.
You're just a lone wolf, a hired gun.
That's right. You're Lincoln Hawk from Over the Top.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're trying to work your way to the big times. So for me, like, I started off in Nuremberg. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
That's where
good.
The rallies were all held. So might as well start there. Might as well start there. God, that's so horrible. Oh, no. Anyway, so I started there. And but you're a freelancer, so you go out and you do some jobs. And I'd like to also point out that you can make the difficulty on this game as rough or easy on you as you want. So I think it's a dad skill to know how to back up cargo. I used to watch my dad back up a trailer and back up the camper and all this other shit, and he was a pro always. Like he never got it wrong. He knew exactly which way to turn the wheel. Everything was perfect. If you asked me to do it, I'd end up like parallel to the cargo I'm trying to carry, like staring at it out the side, because I suck at it. Did you ever have that experience? Was your dad a master driver when it comes to that kind of stuff?
He was a really good driver. I don't know that I ever saw him have to back up a truck or anything. But, yeah, he's a far more skilled driver than I am. At some point in time, we've evolved past that. Our brains have atrophied or something. And we're no longer capable of doing that kind of thing.
It's weird. It goes along with any skill trade, honestly. I don't know. I can't do anything. I can't do anything for myself. I have AAA. Fuck it. They'll do the work for me. So this game lets you, if you want to, you can make it that complex where, you know, you're backing up and you do it. Or, like, for instance, when I delivered my first load, I was able
what
to
What was the load?
It didn't tell me.
Oh,
it was part of the tutorial, really. It was just kind of like,
I want to know what I'm hauling.
Well, I think eventually you... I think you...
Children.
Trafficking in human just, beings.
Yeah, that'd be great if that was the first mission. And they don't, there's no focus on it. It's just really subtle. Like, yeah, here's your load of children.
I think it would be funnier if, like, for the whole game, you're trucking around normal stuff. Like, here's some lumber, here's this other stuff. And then all of a sudden there's this cutscene. It's like, you know, the music is, like, low. And you're in this warehouse where the lights are dim and this dude's smoking a cigar. And he's like, for your next mission, I got something a bit different in store for you. And you have to say yes or no if you're willing to go down the path of human trafficking.
Just gets really heavy.
Yeah, like all of a sudden it's dark. But the game is fun because it's got good controls over the truck. It feels normal. Like you shift in and out of gears and you have to.
Can you like fiddle with a lot of the stuff on your dash, and like are there a lot of different buttons to mess with?
Full disclosure, I went with the most easy mode possible. Oh. Because I could not. So I don't know the full extent.
Yeah,
I imagine you can.
How detailed the cockpit is, in a way.
I imagine it's pretty detailed. So it's a good game so far. The best part about it is the prospects of it being an even better game, which it's because you build your company from the ground up. So you are a freelancer, but eventually you get your own garage and you add bays to it. You add a trucking fleet. You hire people. I mean, it gets really involved. So it becomes a proper business. So I don't know, man. I'm going to see it. I'm going to stream it because I think too, I want to play it first, but then I want to stream it and I want to have fan interaction. In other words, I want there to be people saying which truck to pick. And from the get-go, what city to start in. You know what I mean? Like, I want to have that sort of feedback. I want the community to pick what I'm going to do and how I'm going to play the game. So I'm going to stream that pretty soon. Did you play anything this week?
I'll tell you what's not a good game.
Uh-oh.
BioShock Infinite.
Oh, you're still on this. Okay.
I've played much more of it now, and I've liked it less and less the more I've played it. It's pretty terrible. It's a mess of a game. Like, it just doesn't cohere in any way. It tries to deal with issues of race and inequality, and it doesn't do it well. I was trying to think of why it's so bad at handling race. It's like a cartoon version of racism. It's as if someone's trying to communicate to a child what racism is.
Mm.
So it has no subtlety. And in doing so, by not treating racism with any subtlety, it ends up being almost offensive in a way. To try and communicate racism, what they'll do is you'll be walking around and there'll be some black people or some Asian people and a white person calling them a chink. It slams it over your head. Like, look at this. This is what racism is. It's a person hating another person really overtly, which is not what racism is at all. It's
no,
they're constructing. I get the impression that it's, you know, one of the big problems with racism right now is that every white person, of course, thinks they're not racist, but then often they are very deeply racist because they can get away with saying, well, racism is just like in BioShock Infinite, where it's just people being overtly violent and hateful towards each other. When in reality, racism is far more complex.
Well, yeah, the worst racism that I encounter is when it's like when people think that they're what I call in good company, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Which is when they pull, like, once a black person or an Asian person or a Hispanic person has left the room, they sort of turn to you as an aside and they're like, can you believe that kind of thing is going? And I'm like, I'm not part of this thing that you think I'm a part of. Why am I being included? Just because I'm white, you think that I hate another person like you do? It's crazy. That veiled racism, that's the worst, I think, is that that's where we live now. And especially with that whole reverse, I don't know what you call it, I guess reverse racism, where white people think that they're the ones. Do they address that in BioShock Infinite? That white people feel like they're the ones who are being discriminated against now?
Not really. And they do a poor job of showing like systemic institutional racism, because they boil it down to like there's a factory that all the like lower class people who are mostly dark skinned work in, and there's like a shanty town that you go in where people are crying and there's a preacher. It's just it's so fucking stupid. It's a really disappointing experience. And that's just in terms of content, it's bad, but in terms of mechanics and everything, what was great about the first BioShock was how strategic the fighting was. You'd have to fight these big daddies and you'd set up traps and all this, and it was awesome because you would provoke the big daddy, and before that it wouldn't attack you, so you could kind of plan it all out and get it all set. In this game, it's just these big arenas like Halo almost, and it's just there's a million guys to kill, and it ruins any kind of vibe or affect that the game's trying to build. It has none of the strategy or interest combat wise. Oh, and on top of all of this, what makes it even far worse is once again the game's trying to deal with liberalism and conservatism. And the world starts out with this very conservative vision of the world. And at one point it shifts and you then see the very liberal version. And it's trying to make the point that both extremes are awful. But the problem with that kind of relativistic libertarian bullshit is that conservatism is worse.
We know it's not equivalent. It's true.
So you start off in the game and you see all of these black people oppressed, and these this gross inequality and this concentration of wealth and people being exploited. And it's like, yes, this is fucking awful. And then we shift over to the liberal version where these oppressed people revolt, and we're then made to believe like, oh man, look it. When the poor black people rise up, it's going to be just as bad. No, it's not. It's going to be better because people are no longer oppressed.
Do you know what happens when liberalism wins out? You get the Star Trek universe. You get everybody working toward a common goal of traveling the fucking stars. That's what happens.
You get a more equal world, yeah. A better world in which, it's
frustrating to me right now.
It's really not worth playing, which I think is shot because it's making a lot of top 10 lists, I think, just as a gesture towards, well, this is a big franchise. It's not worth playing. It's not a good game.
But you
it's
even
not
said,
a dumb game.
Right.
It's just a bad game.
But you even said that on one of the websites that you're a part of, that game is being widely panned by most of the members.
In the kind of academic critical community, it is there are piles of blogs and articles just breaking down how in its trying to engage with race, it ends up being rather racist and offensive in a very strange way. And for that reason alone, it's almost, I would shy away from it and spend your time playing something else, like the first BioShock.
What a weird world we live in where BioShock Infinite turns out to be worse than Euro Trucker Simulator 2.
And that's the kind of the kind of perspective you get at Super Dumb Games, is we will Euro Truck is superior in its dumbness than a bad game.
Calls in the business school. Is there no community college in your county? They branded themselves with an icon and an effigy.
How many days has it been since the last news segment? Maybe
seven
days. Is it full seven? No,
no, it was actually, well, we recorded the last time. It was on a Friday. Today is a Sunday. So it's been like
8 days.
Yeah.
Would
eight
you
or 9 days?
I mean, if you had to if you had to articulate, like, yeah, how long that's been,
yeah,
would okay, would you say that it's been a while since we had a What's Dropping segment?
new fan favorite. It's been a while.
Oh, man. What's dropping? Woodcutter Simulator 2013 is dropping. December 19th, the simulator to end all simulators.
Can I just... I want to interject because we have a mutual friend who buys every Steam sale game ever, like an addict, and tried to convince me to buy this game. And I was like, and I flat out said, no, I will never play Woodcutter Simulator. It's just not happening.
I don't know what you were thinking, because listen to this.
Give it to me.
Woodcutter Simulator 2013 allows the player to control and operate an entire lumber mill.
Holy shit!
From clearing woods to the evacuation of the logs, the player has to undertake all arising tasks to complete numerous missions, from cutting trees for demanding customers to producing wood chips for heating purposes.
Is there a Sierra Club DLC where I get to play like the antithesis of this, and I come in and go, stop cutting trees, we're preserving this land, and I slowly take away business from whoever is playing Woodcutter Simulator?
Clearly,
that would make me happy.
The developer of this game, English is not the first language. Evacuation of the logs?
Yeah, that's what I do with my shit. That's how I poop.
Undertake all arising tasks?
Well, as they come up.
I mean, the thing,
evacuate the tasks.
The thing I love about these games is that they try, you know, usually it's like headshot, like vicious headshots,
right,
and gore and blood and sick explosions. But for these games, they have to make woodcutting sound interesting. And all they have is that you cut trees and make wood chips for heating.
Doesn't this speak to the fact that we live in an era right now where retro, I put that in quotes, retro gaming is so polluted, where instead of things being fun anymore, it's just like they find anything to make a game out of and then want you to buy it for $2.49 on a Steam sale, and then you get stuck with a shit game. This isn't fun in any measure. Unless maybe, like, there's a Sasquatch in the woods that is possibly hunting you down. Like, there's nothing about this game to me that sounds interesting.
We're going toward a future in which everything will be simulated.
Yeah, but it's not fun. Like, I think if Farm Simulator taught me anything, it's that it's not worth buying these sim games. Even though I just bought Euro Truck Simulator 2. There's a first one, apparently. But you can simulate anything, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be good. And these people are coming out with bullshit games now. I mean, this is a bullshit game.
But I don't think fun is what games are, in a way. Like, I think these games are showing us that people play games not just to have fun, but just to activate their mind in some way. So you play Woodcutter Simulator, you're not necessarily having fun, you're just doing something, I think. We need to find someone who really enjoys these games and interview them.
I play koala cards.
Yeah, so.
And I just need to activate my brain. But it's not the same. It's yeah. I would love to figure out. I want to know what goes into the mind of somebody who thinks this might be one of the greatest games ever created.
Well, this might sell you, this final line here.
Give it to me.
With all this, the Woodcutter Simulator 2013 offers the players a great feeling. What that feeling is, we don't know, but it will offer you a great feeling.
It's a tingle in your baby dick is what you get every time you cut a splice of wood. Look, this is...
Oh my God. Doing the news.
Go on to the next
story.
Doing
the news is not good for a hangover.
Listening to the news is the worst thing for a hangover.
I feel out of breath. and lightheaded.
I don't want to live on this planet. Go on.
Top Sizzlers!
Do you feel the fire under your feet?
Oh, God. So, first story. Can we have an intern read these? I'm feeling lightheaded.
Oh, I don't want to. Oh, God. So, go on.
Call of Duty is dying.
Oh, good.
The reports are in. Call of Duty Ghosts sold like shit.
Good.
Apparently. They are down. Estimates are that versus the big Call of Duty release last holiday, which was Black Ops 2, Call of Duty is going to see about a 25% sales
Holy
drop.
Shit.
We may be witnessing the death of Call of Duty.
Is there anything? I mean, I know I've read about this game sucking, but what is it about the fan, or what is the fan base saying about this game that killed it for them? Was it the dog that doesn't do shit? You know, like that, because that was touted, I think, at E3. Like, you get a dog in this game.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what to attribute it to. I don't know, frankly.
Is it online?
Because
multiplayer?
Nothing replaced it, right?
No, I mean, there's no Battlefield.
There was a Battlefield,
out, right?
But it was shit as well. Oh, arguably, even more so.
So what is? I mean, aren't there three games? There's Battlefield. There's Call of Duty, and I thought there was a third game that sort of competes with those. But even if there isn't a third game, those two are like the top competitors,
yeah.
Right? Those are the originals.
And clearly, I mean, players maybe are just fatigued, which is, I mean, it's really interesting to see this such, I mean, this is a huge decline. To drop 25% year over year is insane. It's massive.
How do you go from the zenith of what Black Ops was down to what Ghosts is? Like, how do you do that?
I wonder if it was a Black Ops, if it would, like, does the Call of Duty consumer, do they section off Modern Warfare, Black Ops, Ghosts? Do they see those as separate? I don't know.
Yeah, these are questions for other people, not us.
Especially us in this current state. So, get excited. Ender's Game star, Asa Butterfield, cut his...
I hate his name.
Asa Butterfield cut his teeth on the Nintendo GameCube. This is coming at us from Nintendo Life. Damian McFerrin dropped this gem on us. So Asa says, "My brother and I would play Driver and Metal Gear Solid on PS1, but the first console I had myself was a GameCube. I'd play The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker and Mario Kart Double Dash for hours. The HD version of Wind Waker is what makes me want to get a Wii U."
What?
"Take the plunge and get a Wii U, Asa. You won't regret it," writes Damian McFerrin.
So this is an advertisement.
Basically.
Listen, Asa Butterfield, I'm speaking from a place of sagacity. I know my things about life. Is that how you say it? I know my things about life. Quoth me. I played The Wind Waker. It's all right. It's all right. That's where it stays. It's all right. It's a good game. It's not a great game, I don't think. If you cut your teeth on that system, you got a lot of learning to do, kid. So get yourself, with all the money you're making off of Ender's Game, which is zero, take that money, buy yourself a Sega CD. That's where it's at. Cut your teeth on
cut
that
your
shit.
Teeth. What I love about these Nintendo articles, though, are the comments. Because Nintendo fans are really bizarre.
But are there anti-Nintendo commenters on that?
Nintendo, I mean, it's all rabid zealots. And what the comment section on this article played out was everyone was critiquing the amount of Wii U promotion in this article. So, for instance, this is so bizarre. Gojinho writes, "I don't know who he is, but starring in a movie with Harrison Ford, not bad. I guess he could put some of that celebrity fame status, whatever, to use and help the Wii U out a bit. But then again, meh, it'll come along anyway. People are concerned about how well this article convinces people to get Wii U's. Like, that's how rabid these fans are.
Why do they give a shit?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess they went all in and they realized that, like, they're on a sinking ship. They are the violin player on the Titanic right now. They're trying to justify their existence. Yeah. They're trying to get other people on board, you know, sink with me. I think that's what it is. It's desperation.
Yeah, it's the comments do strike of desperate clamoring for any kind of good press at this point. Last top sizzler. This is one of the more fascinating stories in gaming history. Digging up E.T. documentary to debut exclusively on Xbox One and 360 in 2014. So,
like E.T. the Atari
yes.
game?
Yes. Have you heard about this?
No, but that... this sounds awesome.
Famously, E.T. was so bad, and yet Atari banked on its success so much, they rushed it out. But it was so bad that they had thousands of carts that went unsold that they had to do something with. And
put them in the coral reefs. make a home for fish. I don't know.
Well, the rumor is that what they ended up doing was making a giant landfill in New Mexico and burying them in the desert.
No.
Yes.
No. Wow.
So there's a documentary coming out in 2014, exclusive Xbox One and 360, about this with some good talent behind it, including Academy Award winning producer Simon Chin, who did Searching for Sugar Man and Man on Wire, and directed by Zach Penn. That's going to, I guess, try to get to the bottom of this story, because from what I've heard is no one's quite sure if this actually happened or not. And if you can, in fact, go to New Mexico and dig them up.
Wow.
So that's what this documentary is going to explore.
Did you play E.T. for Atari? Have you ever played it?
No, I've seen it played, though, and it is extraordinary.
I owned it. And I wish now that my mom never made us give our much poorer cousins our Atari 2600 or whatever it was, because I had E.T. and it was baffling as a kid. Like, I didn't understand how it worked. I tried so hard to make that game be playable as a kid. And you have to go on YouTube and just watch somebody try to play it. Like, you'd fall into a pit, then you'd raise your neck up and you'd fly up into the sky.
It makes no sense.
Then you'd collect like Reese's Pieces, then guys in a suit would come out after you when you're in the fucking some Greek, you know, monument.
Yeah, yeah. Like
you go to a house for safety. It makes no sense. And there was no sense to be made out of it when you go to the right on the screen, it didn't mean that you went to the same zone as what you would expect to be on the right. Like, things were discombobulated. The whole thing was fucked up. But I still love the game in some way. There's something about it that speaks to me. Like, I grew up with it. That was what it was like to have shit games when you were a kid. Like, that was all I had to draw off of.
Hot off the wire. Top stories from the PR Newswire. No Nelly this week, everyone.
No.
Sad to say, but we do have a video game-related story. Video games cure paralysis!
Yes! Finally a cure for the ultimate doom of man.
Not quite, actually.
Oh, okay.
This story is video game feedback may help the injured heal. So some researchers at Polytechnic Institute of New York University basically hooked up normal functioning people who weren't even paralyzed...
Posers.
To force feedback apparati and had them navigate something through a basic maze and answer or read stuff about zoos and animals
in
the zoos.
I am lost.
As they, so you're on a 2D virtual map of the Bronx Zoo, and you use like a force feedback controller to push your person around the Bronx Zoo, and you you read stuff. You read science trivia.
What are you pushing with? Like your teeth?
I think it's to rehabilitate hand function, I think.
Okay.
But all so the test is... subjects were healthy.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this is not... Is this for chest down paraplegia?
I
like,
don't
that's the
know.
Idea.
I didn't read the whole story. Who do you... You think this is?
A proper news site?
What's baffling to me about this is just this is science. And how awful this sounds. Because the point of this, they're like, well, people reported that they found this more interesting than other forms of rehabilitation. This sounds worse. I would rather just give me like those things Guido's in the 80s used to pump up their forearms.
Yeah,
I'll just,
yeah.
I'd rather do that than read stuff about the zoo. Like, video games don't make everything better. Sometimes they can make things worse. Look at Woodcut Simulator.
Just give me the old school handbars, whatever you call that Olympic thing. Like, I will navigate this on my own.
And that is your news.
Hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
No.
That is the sound of an ice-cold Coors banquet being
opened
up. I just opened... Hair of the dog, ladies and gentlemen. Hair of the dog. How else can I get through a shitty third segment without the help of some Coors banquet?
Oh, my God. Are you seriously drinking a Coors?
Yeah, I just opened one.
Holy fuck. I can't even fathom that right now.
Listen, I'm a raw dog, and I do the hair of the dog. That's how I roll.
Man.
This segment's... Listen, I've never... I think I say listen more than ever now. I think you pointed that out to me.
Yes. Well, last podcast. Or was it last? The last... Were you...
I was drunk the last podcast.
Yeah, this is... How did this show suddenly turn out to be like the drunk show?
It's
like,
not... Ladies and gentlemen, this is not going to be a common theme. It just so happens.
Yeah.
The last two times you caught me in the middle
totally
of my life.
Unintentional.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of living my life, and then all of a sudden you want me to do a podcast. Look, sometimes you're going to catch me when I'm normal. Other times I'm opening up an ice-cold Coors banquet. And this just in. Don't get the bullshit, silver bullet, blah,
no.
blah, blah. You have to get the banquet. It's a feast. It's a feast in a can. It's so delicious. Only the Rockies can create it.
It's got a classic look.
I have on my desk right now a gift I bought for my dad. He never wanted back in third grade. Do you remember back when there was like around this time of year, there would be like a Christmas sale and kids would go in with their parents' money and buy a gift for their parents.
Yeah.
I bought
Which
my dad.
Which is so strange.
It is. It's weird.
Did they used to, for us, they used to set up tables.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd kind of, it was like a
window
buffet.
Shopping.
Yeah.
The thing is, that year that I bought my dad a Coors can with a shit ton of wax on top. Apparently it's a candle. My dad never wanted it. It was put up in the cabinet for like 20 years. But I bought that, and then I was supposed to buy my mom a gift that same year, and instead I bought Regina Campanani a doll, because this just in, I was hardcore, and I wanted some, that's what I wanted to do, though. I wanted to make her my girlfriend, and she was my girlfriend, and then she called my house during Jeopardy, and my mom and dad weren't having any of that. Like, you can't call the house during... What's this segment?
I don't know. There's a chance I might fall asleep.
Is your hand on your head, Uncle Bill style?
No, I'm slouching right now. Just barely attentive.
Oh, God. All right. So this segment is called...
Just spitballing.
Just spitballing. There's an apostrophe at the end. We don't do a G at the end of spitballing. It's spitballing.
Yep.
We're going to try our best right now under the current circumstances to make up a game for you based entirely on a name that is generated off of a online name generator for video games.
Give him a plug. Give him a little boost. The Super Dumb Games bump. Move the needle for him with a little Super Dumb Games bump. sell some product.
I don't even know what this domain is. What country is
make
this?
Him a bestseller.
All right. Yes.
Oh my, I'm lightheaded. Oh fuck. I might pass out.
This game site is from Montenegro, so we are definitely giving them the bump by giving them all of three people to go to this site. Video game na dot meh. I don't know. It's video game na dot meh. But video game na dot me is where I'm getting this name generator. I guess the na.me means name. I get it. Video game name. But Montenegro is where the server is housed. So what do you want from me? Here we go, Tanner. I'm going to click the generate button about 20 times before you say stop.
Are you clicking?
Yeah, I just started clicking.
Just stop it already. Just stop it!
Oh, here we go. Are you ready? Here's the name. I'm just spitballing here, but we're going to call this game Future Fire Armada.
All right, Future Fire Armada. I want this. I want to interpret Armada as a ship Armada.
Okay.
I want to be on the high seas in this game. I'm just spitballing here.
And let me just, I'm spitballing too. It's the future. So the seas aren't actually water. It's lava.
Okay.
Because future fire Armada, right?
So the carpet is lava and we're on the couch.
That's right. The Armada cannot touch the lava, but they figured out a way to sail the seven seas on.
How far in the future are we talking here? So
12 years.
All right, 12 years in the future, and the oceans have turned to lava.
Yeah. Hawaii spat up. It puked all over the world. This is what we get.
We totally
didn't. Hawaii
the
50th
We didn't see it coming.
Nope.
All right, so all of the ocean has been turned to lava, and we've had to build ships.
Right.
To sail in lava. Because
That's
we,
correct.
You know, shit still needs to get shipped, people.
Right.
We need tankers, but the lava would, I imagine, just tear through normal steel.
Of course, and wood is right out.
Wait, this is a game. We're just we've lost the premise of this. This needs to be a game.
Yeah, so the Future Fire Armada is what about this? It's actually fighting the ocean. We need the oceans back because, you know, we need to desalinate it and make it for clean drinking water. So we are fighting lava. Lava is the antagonist.
Okay.
And we're trying to reclaim the oceans because Hawaii fucked us up.
Yeah.
All
so
right?
I'm imagining this game, you're piloting a boat around.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to clear out the lava, basically. Like, you're a Zamboni of the high seas.
That's right.
So, this game, listen, this is a super exciting game where we're basically trying to simulate the full size of the ocean. One of our big back-of-the-box quotes is that this is a true two-scale ocean and a two-scale ship. And you're going through like a Zamboni and pouring ice water on the lava to cool it off. And your goal is just to cover the entire breadth of the ocean, Zamboni style, and cool off the lava. Game done!
Well,
there's not much more to it.
But Okay, no, there are other elements we need to add in because
don't ruin my game, bro.
There has to be competing fleets, just like in what's that lobster or no, the crab catch show on Discovery Channel,
Deadliest Catch.
We'll call it Lobster Hunt because that's what I was thinking in my brain. So Lobster Hunt, Discovery Channel, check it out. That's another plug. Discovery Channel can
Super
use your...
Dumb Games bump coming your way.
Our protagonist, one of them is named Nihao Zamboni. And Nihao, you know, that's the name of one of the islands of Hawaii. He comes from the very place, like, he's on a trajectory of, he needs redemption because his homeland has spewed forth so much lava on the planet that he needs to reconcile this with his own, you see what I'm saying? Like, his own psyche, it's so damaged now.
Yeah, he feels like he's got to clean up the mess. He's like when you're at a restaurant, you spill something.
Right.
You, like, feel obligated to try to clean it up, even though everyone that works there is like, just stop. We've got mops here. That's what this guy's trying to do. He's trying to clean up the mess. Meanwhile, we've got our kick-ass boat, and we're so much better at it, but this guy's just farting around out there.
Then you can also play as Clark Duncan. He's just a regular Joe. He doesn't come from anywhere. He's from any town, USA.
Any relation to Michael Clark Duncan?
Oh, shit. I made that up and I thought it was original. Yes.
M. Clark Duncan.
Yeah, M. Clark Duncan. His catchphrase is your missus pleased? The Green Mile, dumb movie. Don't debate me. It sucks. I don't care.
So wait,
so
these are, we've got three characters you can choose from. Us, and we've got the best boat.
Of course, ours is impenetrable.
The Hawaiian guy who's full of shame and has a really terrible boat.
Sure.
And M. Clark Duncan, who bears a striking resemblance to Michael Clark Duncan.
Except not riding in a coffin.
I guess from a sales perspective, we're just trying to get the MCD bump. Like, we're really good at giving other people bumps. But sometimes we want to get bumps from other people. So we're going to get an MCD bump. So the game.
So the game. You're putting out the ocean. What kind of
ice water?
Well, I was going to ask. Okay, so we have ice water. Maybe there's a freeze gun you can get. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have more methods. And you have to build up, right? So your ship starts off.
Yeah, you can choose different resources to try to cool the ocean down with. But I'm drawing a blank. I came up with ice water.
I said freeze gun.
What else is cold?
Bodies. There's snow. I was gonna say you just drop bodies. Like maybe there's also an overpopulation problem. So you throw dead bodies overboard.
Okay.
And they cool off the, you know, we're 98.6.
Unused pillows.
Yeah. We're 98.6 degrees. Lava is like, what, 1,000,000.6?
The science checks out.
How many Kelvin is lava? That's what I want to know.
Because we want to make sure, because we already accurately modeled the entire ocean to scale. Mm-hmm. We want to also accurately model the temperature. We spent millions of dollars on this game just on those two things. So you've got to dump an equivalent amount of bodies that would actually legitimately cool down lava.
For the first time in the history of geology, money has gone to geologists to study something.
Because to make a video game,
geologists make $0. If you chose geology as your profession, I'm sorry. Why do I? Oh, here's some Coors Banquet in honor of geology.
I think this game is done.
Like this is a game that's going to go on a Steam sale for $2.49.
Steam sale, get it?
Oh boy. I mean, seriously, this is the kind of dumb shit like cutting lumber. There will be people who will play a game where all you do is Zamboni the ocean so that it cools off. What a dumb episode again. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to explain this to my family. This is the darkest
secret. It's a shame you
carry
around with yourself.
It's my darkest secret.
What's your strategy going for? I need to take a shower.
Well, no. I'm in the strategy is I got it.
Hair of the dog.
It's hair of the dog. I'm completing a Coors, and when I'm done with that,
completing. What percentage complete are you?
I have 2 sips. That's it. I realized it was a big mistake early into the sip. Mm-hmm. Then I took a second. The strategy going forward is I got to get some clean clothes going on. I gotta do some dishes.
I just gotta feel like I'm normal again. Like, yeah. Just do normal stuff. You just gotta start living life.
Yeah, but
a quarter mile at a time.
I can't drive. I'll Paul Walker it right outside of this place. It's over for me. So that's episode 15, I guess, titled. We can title it "Hair of the Dog,"
or the Super Dumb Games Bump.
Yeah, the Super Dames. I can't even, I called us Super Dames. Let's start a new podcast about girls. Girls in the Gams. Super Dames. Oh, God. How do you end this? How do you end this? Oh, my God, I'm done. Is that how it ends?
I guess.
Okay. See ya.
Dumb games.